Galatians 3, verses 5 through 11. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham and the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. Brother Bobby.
So good to see all of you here this morning and have a good number of visitors. We certainly do appreciate your presence and hope that you will find everything in order here in our worship to God this morning. And if not, you would be our friend if you called that to our attention, that we might correct it. I also like to encourage you to come back this evening. I want to talk to you about the Lord's Supper and remembering the Lord's death. So hope you can be back with us at 5 this afternoon. Well, the Apostle Paul says in the end of verse 11 here in Galatians 3 that the just shall live by faith. And what I propose to do this morning is talk a little bit about how to live by faith. How can we live by faith? Now, Paul's argument here to the Galatians is a contrast between keeping the law and having faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And we understand that we are not under the law any longer because Paul tells us also that Jesus nailed the law to the cross. That Jesus, as the Hebrew writer talks about, is the bringer of the new covenant or the new testament. And he is better. We have a better covenant because he brought that to us. So just how is it then that we live by faith? We're going to go ahead and look at all of these points this morning just for simplicity so that I don't get distracted. But there you have it. You can track when the lesson will be over. So that'll be good for you. But first of all, what we need to do is to start the journey of faith. Turn with me to the Hebrew writer in the 11th chapter. You remember there that we call this passage the Heroes of Faith or the Hall of Faith. Sometimes we might refer to it that way. But there are some vital points for us to consider here in the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 11. And as we think about just starting the journey of faith, what we're doing is looking at people who made a journey of faith, so to speak. And so the Hebrew writer, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 11, says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, the author talks about a number of different characters here in the 11th chapter, but his conclusion here is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, our first point is that we've got to start that journey of faith. You recall that in the book of Genesis, we read back in the 13th chapter of one of these great journeys of faith, as we might call it. In Genesis, the 13th chapter, and we'll look there at verses 3 and 4, Genesis chapter 13, it says about Abram, he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now this describes some of the activities of Abram in the land of Canaan, the land of promise. But we understand that Abram, under the direction of God, left Ur of Chaldees and journeyed to this land of promise. But then it says that he went on his journey and he went south to Bethel, to the place where his tent had been. And he was there between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. You see, Abram was determined to worship God. He was determined that he was going to act upon his faith when God said, "Leave your home of Ur of Chaldees and go to the land which I will show you." He didn't hesitate. He got up and he gathered his belongings and he left. And he went to the promised land. And once he got there, he sojourned in tents with Isaac and Jacob. The Bible will tell us, but he called on the name of the Lord there. What did he do? He worshiped God. He made a journey of faith. He started that journey of faith when God directed him to. And that's exactly what we have to do, is we have to begin that journey of faith when God, through His Son Jesus, commands us to, as He does. That we are to, in faith, respond to the gospel invitation and to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. I'd like you also to look with me in Luke, the 9th chapter, and let's look at the example of the Lord here for just a moment. In Luke chapter 9, and way down in the bottom of the chapter, down about verse 53, it says about Jesus, they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Have you ever thought about the journey of Jesus? That Jesus at this point in his ministry set his face, or he turned his face, or in other words, his life was now directed to make this journey to Jerusalem. Well, what's going to happen when he goes into Jerusalem in the final week of his life? Well, eventually he's going to be arrested and put through this trial, and he's going to be crucified. Now, which one of us would knowingly go toward our death if we didn't have some kind of promise for what's going to happen afterwards? And by faith, Jesus knew that he was going to be raised from the dead. He had that power as God, but he knew that the Father was going to raise him from the dead. You know, we might also call this, instead of calling it a journey, we might call it a venture or an adventure. You ever had an adventure? Sometimes when things are not going so well, I say, well, this is just an adventure. We go on vacation. We go to new places. We say, it's an adventure. Well, a venture means to dare, to risk, to undertake something. Faith is a venture as well as a journey. Because we are what we're saying is, I'm going to put away that which is familiar to me, and I'm going to begin this venture of faith where I don't see everything. This world here is concrete. I can touch it. I can feel it. What I put my faith in is that there's a home in heaven for me. And so it's a venture. It's taking a risk. Well, I don't think of it so much that way because of my faith in God. But you get the picture that I'm trying to paint for you here. When we begin to live by faith and things aren't going exactly well, we may begin to doubt. But then what we begin to realize is that God blesses us with things so abundantly. I'm not talking about material possessions necessarily. He may do that. But God sends spiritual blessings to us that we never dreamed could dare happen. We never dreamed that the things that God will give us are possible. And we won't realize that until we start this journey of faith. By stepping out in faith and being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we begin that journey of faith. But we've got to start. We've got to make a beginning of it. The second thing is that we need to stress the value of our faith. Over in the book of Ephesians, in the 6th chapter, I want you to notice here the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 16. As he's coming to the end of the list of the spiritual armor, he says in verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." The shield of faith. Now, Paul says in Romans 10:17, what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So he says to take the shield of faith with which you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You ever wondered why it's the shield of faith? The image that we have is of a Roman soldier who's carrying not the small round shield, but the long shield that would cover most of his body. And he's able to stop the arrows and the darts of the enemy that are hurled at him. And Paul says that the wicked one is sending these fiery darts toward us, and we need to take the shield of faith that we believe that God can preserve us, that we believe that God can help us stand against the wicked one. Turn back to the second chapter and in verse 8, Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8, where Paul says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By grace, by the unmerited favor of God, we have been saved. Now that's one of the things that the Bible speaks of that saves us. But we've been saved by grace, something we didn't deserve. But notice that Paul says it's through faith. So my point to you here is that we need to see the value and stress the value of faith in our lives. That we have that faith. And we need to, obviously, in the next point we're going to talk about sharing that faith, but we need to think about the kinds of benefits we receive, the value of our faith. You ever thought about the healing that God performs in your life when you, in faith, are obedient to Him? Not only does He wash away your sins in the blood of Jesus Christ, but He begins to heal you. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about healing you from the dreadful, terrible disease of sin. You're cured of your sin. God begins to heal all of the hurts that you have inside and in your spirit because of the battles that you fight in waging war against Satan, the battle against Satan. God gives us numerous blessings, and it's that faith that keeps us steadfast and secure in God. We're saved by grace through faith. And a couple of weeks ago, I was in Ohio and preached a meeting up there, and one night I just told the people, I said, you know, we need to be greeting and saying goodbye to each other in a little bit different way. I said, every night you come into the meeting house here and I say, hi, how you doing? You say, I'm fine, how are you? And then you go to your seat. And I said, why don't we try this? Instead of just saying that same rote thing every time, let's greet each other by saying, hey, the Lord is coming. Why don't we say, brother, my faith is strong in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. How's yours? Hi, how you doing? Which sounds better to you? The Lord is coming, or my faith is strong, or hi, how you doing? Why don't we try some of those other things? That we can stress the value of our faith, not only to ourselves, but to one another. Well, we go back to the Hebrew letter to chapter 12 for our next point, and that is that we need to share the vision of faith. Following up on that great chapter of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 12, or in 11, now we come to chapter 12, and let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2 here. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let me ask you, first of all, are we really doing that daily? Do we have a vision of Jesus that we're looking to? And I don't mean a miraculous vision or something like that. I mean, Do we see Jesus? Obviously, Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. We've never seen him in the flesh. But, you know, in the pages of this book, John tells us that these things are written that we might believe in the end of his gospel. Do you see Jesus here? Do you see Jesus in the pages of the Holy Scripture? Do you have a vision of Jesus as you meet him one day in heaven? Face to face shall I behold him. Well, if you do, share that vision with someone. You know, the idea of sharing your vision of faith, the word vision means the ability to direct your eyes, to discern your thoughts, and distinguish and discover. Our faith should create a positive outlook in our lives. And we should have that vision where we see Jesus coming to get us, where we see Jesus standing by the throne of God, when we see our Savior face to face. Now, how about sharing that with somebody else? I don't mean to be obnoxious like a lot of people are in their faith. What I mean is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. Because you have faith. Because you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And that will help us to discover things that otherwise seem impossible to us. It will help us to see opportunities that we have as a child of God to be able to run this race and finish our course and one day go home to heaven. Notice with me what is recorded for us in Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and there at verse 18. Think about this in the context of ancient Israel and how many times they failed in this regard. And think about this in regards to us today. It says, where there is no revelation or no vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Where there is no revelation or vision, and I understand the idea there is prophetic vision, but it works for this. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. You know, the movers and shakers in a lot of businesses talk about some motivational type things, and one of the things they'll tell you is you have to picture what you're after. You have to be able to see it. And so they'll tell you, if it's a new boat you want, put a picture of that boat on your mirror where you shave every morning or where you put your face on, ladies. I know y'all want a boat, right? All the ladies want a boat. Whatever it is, they say, put that before you so that you see it every day. You can visualize yourself on that boat, reeling in the world record bass. Because if you can't see it, you'll never achieve it. Friends, do you see Jesus? Can you share that vision of faith with somebody else? And then finally, sound the victory of faith. 1 John chapter 5. Let's look over there. 1 John chapter 5. And at verse 4. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Let me tell you, that's victory. Whatever is of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith is what the victory is. Shout that to the rooftops, friends. Tell it to your friends. I have gained the victory through Jesus Christ. I am victorious. And then in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and in verse 5, here's the reason for all of this. Verse 15, Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Friends, Have you thanked God lately for your faith, which is your victory? If not, then we need to do some serious reconfiguring in our lives, don't we? We need to recognize the victories that God gives us. The victory over sin and over death. The victory over our temptations and our tribulations. And we need to share our victories to inspire other people. Because faith is contagious. And then we need to drop to our knees and praise our God and thank our God for everything that He's done to us. So begin your venture of faith. If you're not a Christian, why not become one today? Stress the faith in your life. Make it the most important thing in your life. Share your faith with your friends and family. And proclaim the victory, our faith. If you're not a child of God this morning, we are going to sing this song to encourage you to do that this morning, to render obedience, acting upon your faith, being buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. If you are a child of God and you've lost sight of your faith, people talk about losing their faith. I think they just hide it sometimes on purpose. It's time to get it out, get it active, and be victorious. Come now while we stand together and while we sing.